Our second scripture reading today comes from Philippians 3, verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body.
So, today's lesson is about citizenship in heaven, and it comes out of these holy Bibles that you have, which are, I look at this and look at this as not just something to read stories from. It's a textbook, and it provides information on how we can live. And today, we're going to talk a little bit about citizenship in heaven and what that means. And first, to get to that, I want to start a little bit with some of the, what a theological term would be, eisegagics, which means we're going to put Philippians in its historical context. So when we look at Philippians 3:20, there's a word in there. It's the word, the Greek word is polituma. And polituma is interesting, and we really need to sit up and take notice, because it's only used once here in the Bible. And it was used in the epistle to the Philippians from Paul, who had great friendships, great respect, great love with the Philippian church. And we went through Acts so recently with Dave. So Philippi was where Paul was thrown into prison and an earthquake freed him, and he remained, and the jailer became a believer because he didn't run away. So that's where the Philippian church started. But considering a little more about Philippi, a chain of well-known historical events happened there, and lots was going on in before and when Paul arrived at Philippi. And Julius Caesar was assassinated, and he was assassinated on the Ides of March in 44 BC, about approximately 80 years before Paul showed up there. And it set off a civil war in Rome. And that war, that battle, there was a war that took place, a battle right near Philippi. And it was there that Mark Antony and Octavian met Brutus and Cassius. Brutus had set up an army in Macedonia, which was the state around Philippi. And that battle took place just south of Philippi. Brutus left Rome and raised that army, which is really why Octavian and Antony came to the area of Philippi to engage his army. In the battle, Octavian was victorious and later became the unrivaled emperor of Rome. He did defeat Mark Antony after this battle, but that was the big one near Philippi. And after he won those battles, Augustus commemorated the victory by establishing a Roman colony in Philippi. And he put all sorts of awards and benefits for the people of Philippi, and Philippi flourished after the famous victory. It became a single Roman province, and the fortified city of Philippi was one of its prominent centers, and it benefited from the Via Ignatia, which is the road that Paul took, that took him through Philippi. It was what went from east to west across the Roman Empire. And they had lots of Roman citizens who took up residence there. Lots of Roman soldiers retired there. And in that place, their favorite retirement home, they had all the benefits of a Roman citizen in Philippi. And you know, of course, we know Paul was a Roman citizen, and he was unique among the apostles because of that. And he received differential treatment because of that. He was spared beatings, although he had a lot of them. He was given hearings. He even had the ability to speak to Caesar himself because he was a Roman citizen. So the term politeuma that Paul used when he wrote verse 3:20 was well understood. These were Roman citizens, and they had benefits. Paul said, we are citizens of heaven. He used politeuma to discuss our benefits. And everybody there, when he wrote this to the Philippians, they all got it. They understood the benefits all their Roman neighbors had, and this made great sense to them, that they had benefits from in heaven. So what are some of our benefits? Because we as believers, according to Paul, we are citizens of heaven. We're just passing through this world. We have all sorts of benefits from being citizens of heaven. And the first one begins at salvation. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is a Christian benefit that we have that wasn't in the Old Testament time. This was after we believe in Christ. God the Holy Spirit puts us in union with Christ, which is in Galatians 1:3. That ministry, that instantaneous ministry at salvation, is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and again, occurs only in the church age. It's remarkable, and it didn't happen before. We all have that benefit today. This privilege, like the politeuma privileges, is for believers, not for unbelievers. And it wasn't for the Old Testament believers. This is something we have in the church age. We have union with Christ. We have become royal family. We are the body of Christ. So we become sanctified, and we share all that Christ has. We share Christ's destiny, his sonship, his heirship, his priesthood, his royalty, his eternal life, and his righteousness. And for all of you, for it says in Galatians, for all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourself with Christ. So we have that benefit. Another one is we have the way of, since we're in union with Christ, we have a way of life for the royal family. God has a plan for us, and we learn that through Scripture, which we learn in the church, which is taught by a pastor teacher, our pastor teacher, and pastors all over the world who teach so that we can learn Scripture and take advantage of what God has provided for us in his perfect plan. The third thing we have is what Paul calls the mystery doctrine, mysterion. He calls that in Ephesians 3:9, but they are now revealed throughout the New Testament epistles, but we communicate God's wisdom in a mystery, which God predestined before the ages of our glory. So the mystery doctrine is all the doctrines of the church that weren't present in the Old Testament. This is all church age doctrines and things that we have and learn from the apostles, from the gospels, and from all the epistles. So we have our mystery doctrine. We also have assets, some invisible assets, but they're there. He lavishes grace upon us, and we have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, says Ephesians 1:3. Christ is in heaven sitting on his throne today. We have blessings through his word and his doctrines. We have also what I'd like to call the equality factor. We have equal privilege and equal opportunity. We have election, and each of us has election and predestination. So every member of the royal family has the opportunity to learn God's word, to advance and to live the spiritual life. There's salvation. No one has higher position or lower position. Sex doesn't matter, race, intelligence, national, social standing, money, rich, poor. We all believers have equal opportunity to grow in grace. Another area is called I'd like to call the royal commissions. We are royal priests, we are the royal priesthood and royal ambassadors. What does that mean? As a royal priest, every believer represents himself before God. You can go directly to the throne room of heaven, which is unique. They had priests in the Old Testament. You went into the temple, you gave sacrifices, you had an intermediary. We don't. We all have the ability to pray and go directly to our Lord during this time. A royal ambassador, we are also ambassadors in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. Just like if there's an American ambassador, he's a citizen of the United States, but he's an ambassador in Japan. He represents the United States. We represent God. We can give the gospel when it comes across. We can act as Christians and learn our doctrine and apply it. So we're royal priests and we're royal ambassadors. Those are great things. We have the indwelling of the Trinity. We have the indwelling of God the Father. God the Father indwells us, John 14:23. We have the indwelling of God the Son, John 17:22-23. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Shekinah glory, and the Shekinah is the Hebrew word to indwell. In the Old Testament times, it was the pillar of fire and the cloud, and it was the burning bush. And there were ways that Christ appeared. And today, after his work on the cross and his resurrection, we now have the indwelling of Christ. We also have the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit. That's different. That's permanent. We get that. That's at salvation. We all have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We can lose the filling of the Holy Spirit through sin, but we have a way to recover it. But we uniquely have the indwelling of all three members of the Godhead. We have the availability of divine power. We can ask for support from God. In the Old Testament, it was endowment. He would provide Holy Spirit help for the builders of the temple, or he gave strength to Samson. It wasn't a regular thing. We in the church age have tremendous benefits based on our relationship to the risen Christ. Also, in this age, we have the absence of prophecy. There's no prophecy in the church age. Christ prophesied the beginning of the church age and the end, which will be at the resurrection of the church or the rapture. But he's given us everything we need to learn and to grow. Right here in the scriptures written by Paul and John and Peter and all the other writers of the New Testament. So we don't have to worry about the prophecies that are out there, things that are going on. We have what we need to learn and grow in our textbooks. And finally, we're invisible heroes. We here in the church, we all can grow to become mature believers, and that has impact. That has impact through blessing by association. It has personal impact. It affects your family and your friends and your associates and the organizations you may be a part of. It affects our community through what we learn and through what God does through his grace. We have historical impact. The nation receives blessing through believers who reside within its borders. We still have a lot of churches and a lot of believers in this country, and we still are the recipients of God's blessings. It has international impact. We send out missionaries who go out and train other ministers, who go out and do things in other countries. We have angelic impact. Yes, there are angels, and God is omnipresent, and we've got angels, and they're here watching, and they're watching what we do in our daily life. So as we learn and grow, that has impact, angelic impact. And finally, we have heritage impact. And that is that loved ones and close friends of the mature believer receive blessings after their promotion to heaven. So God takes care of your families after you're gone. So in summary, Paul's polituma metaphor inspires us in our time on how to live and why to live. And we must focus on scriptures and his teachings and know that while we are learning and advancing in our spiritual life, we are comforted by the understanding of all that Christ has left with us. All of these things are with us in the church age. That is his divine grace for us as citizens of heaven. So I close with a quick prayer. Father, thank you for all that you've provided for us, that we may see as a church and as citizens, as individual believers, all that you have provided for us. May we be challenged to learn every day and to focus on that textbook that he's left with us. We pray that you will take all these things to heart and that we will take all these things to heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.